everyone. Welcome to Edge of Wonder with Ben and Rob, who happens to be on the set of Golden Girls today. Did you guys see the breaking news that FBI agents were caught up in the January 6th event and some whistleblowers revealed they're now going to be fired? It actually sounds like Fedgate is the new Watergate. But speaking of Watergate, was that original scandal actually about covering up a CIA operation? And is Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking operation now being covered up by three-letter agencies in the same way because the client list would shock the world? Well, in tonight's show, we'll be discussing the truth that nobody else is talking about. And you won't believe what we found about all the spying, political games, and honeypot manipulation. And if you're watching us on Rumble, thanks for following us here, where we can bring you free content to share with your friends and family. And if you want to be part of our exclusive Q&A, come over to rise.tv, where you'll find Edge of Wonder series shows from other content creators, comedy, movies, and an awesome live chat with our incredible community. And tonight, we have something really special for y'all. At 9 p.m. Eastern time, mark this down on your calendars, we'll be having a live watch party of our new Edge of Wonder series, The Big Oil Industrial Complex. It will actually blow your mind. We'll be in the live chat with you as we expose how people aren't being told the truth about how much oil goes into creating one of the biggest potential health threats on the planet right now, plastic. You won't want to miss this, since actually a percentage of your body is comprised of plastic now. So let's get started on this Fedgate topic, and we'll see you out. Nope. All right, Ben, I actually can't hear you right now. No audio.
Oh, that's because I was on mute.
So you said, right. You said on the edge, and everyone was like, on the what?
Yes, sorry.
how are you doing, Ben? You have a little bit of a migraine today, right?
I do, actually. You guys, about a half hour ago, I just got this. Sometimes caffeine can affect me if I have too much of it, and I just couldn't even concentrate, and my hand went numb, and it hasn't happened in a long time. And I kept drinking really bad coffee from somewhere for weeks, and I kept getting it, and I was like, what the heck is going on with me? And then one day I just had this realization that it was from the caffeine, and as soon as I realized it was it kind of went away, and I stopped drinking that coffee, and I haven't had any problems since. So I drank some Dunkin' Donuts cold brew, and you know, it might have been
delicious.
They probably brewed it wrong, I'm thinking, or it was sitting out for too long.
Every coffee that comes from Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's is usually that Robusto coffee, and that's the hardcore chemically, you know, challenged coffee that you can get from, you know, third world countries, basically. So
yeah, because I mean, it's weird. I mean, coffee, it will sometimes make my heart skip a beat, and I noticed it was doing it today, and literally this hasn't happened since I had that bad coffee from that one place. So I've been really picky about it, and then I was like, wow, so I don't think I could really drink their coffee now. So anyway, I just could not. I was reading, and I couldn't even process what I'm reading. So you guys, I'm gonna do the best I can. I don't have the migraine as much, and I you know, everything was blurry, I couldn't see, you know. It's that I forget what it's called, the aura migraine headache, where it's you just can't see anything. And I was oh my gosh, you know. So I was meditating right beforehand, so I'm a little bit okay, but I am a little bit out of it. So hopefully everything will be okay. So
well, Ben, speaking of bad experiences, let's talk about Washington, D.C.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you, okay, so Jack Posobiec,
Posobiec.
I always say Posobiec.
I got your back. I know, it's a hard name to say anyway. It's
anyway, so he published a tweet recently that G. Gordon Liddy himself admitted the Watergate break-in was about covering up a political honeypot operation the CIA was running out of the Columbia Plaza apartments down the street.
So that actually, this your people are going to find this crazy, okay? But this information that Jack Posobiec pushed right here has been out in the public forum since 1984. That's how long this information has been out. And for some reason, you and I are just hearing about it now, which is crazy. That just shows you how much, how little of the true story of Watergate is actually out there, you know? So to kind of review, I think a lot of people, they know Watergate was like this big, you know, cluster F of political craziness that Nixon got out, but they don't really know what happened. Okay, so he said here the target was the client list. Okay, so
interesting.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that because that's actually pretty important. But Watergate, basically what happened. So to review, in 1972, this is Lindsay's summary, everyone. Okay, so in 1972, burglars were arrested at the Democratic National Committee office in the Watergate buildings in Washington, D.C. They were connected to Nixon's reelection campaign and were wiretapping phones and stealing documents. Nixon tried to cover up the crimes. Okay, now this is the very Wikipedia type explanation of this, okay? But so Nixon tried to cover up the crimes, but in the end, Nixon had to resign in 1974. An anonymous whistleblower known as Deep Throat had told the Washington Post what happened during this Watergate scandal. So the American people found out and it made them mistrust politicians forever. After he died in 2005, Deep Throat was revealed as a guy named Mark Felt, a former associate director of the FBI, who we'll get into in a little bit because this just reeks of all kinds of, I think just human beings being human beings. Yeah, just human beings being deceitful, greedy, gluttonous, you know, people that want power. So another equally interesting tweet, Ben, to Jack Posobiec's tweet was this James Rosen tweet. And if you can pull that up, Lindsay, James Rosen here said, marking hashtag Watergate at 50, my essay for @RealClearNews draws on newly declassified evidence never before published to show the true role of the CIA in the breaking in and surveillance operation at the DNC that ended on June 17th, 1972. And what James Rosen did really is compile all of this information from all of these different books and all like the FOIA Act, like the Freedom of Information Act and all of this stuff. And I attempted to read this essay today. And the essay was so long that after about an hour, I had only cracked about half, like a quarter of it, not even half. So I was kind of like, you know, I compiled some of it, but I kind of tried to take out the really important parts. And I think this is really interesting, okay? It's something that I found in this document is that June 17th of this year, okay, marked this 50-year anniversary of Watergate. That's 50 years ago that happened, right? Now, the name of the committee that Nixon had assigned was called the Committee to Re-Elect the President, also known as CREEP.
CREEP?
R-E-E-P. That was the acronym.
Wow, I've never even heard of that before.
I know. And it's just kind of funny that like even that part of it was like almost worked out into this whole PSYOP because it was a PSYOP. There's no doubt about it. There was a very, I think probably one of the most, yeah, the most relevant articles was this article here by the Epoch Times. It's commentary by James Bowman. It's brilliant article. I highly recommend you read this because this article actually in a very short, like, you know, 800, 1,000 words, whatever it is, just totally explains what Watergate really did and what it was all about. And I actually extracted a couple of quotes here, Lindsay, so you can actually pull that up. again, if you want. So I just want to kind of make this clear that the two journalists that broke this, that became national heroes, were Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward. And Carl Bernstein was also behind exposing Project Mockingbird, which was the CIA infiltrating large news media like the New York Times and whatever, CNN, not that CNN was around back then, but that type of thing, to guide the stories in our media, excuse me. So I'm gonna read this, yeah. Henceforth, in the eyes of the media anyway, the Washington Post reporters, Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, were to be regarded as the heroes who, through diligent reporting, brought down a corrupt president and therefore served as models for all investigative journalists, as well as the basis for the media's now routine assumption of their own moral superiority and unassailability in the political process. It has long been known that this self-serving media narrative is false. The Woodward-Bernstein source, known at the time as Deep Throat, was a disgruntled FBI agent named Mark Felt, who, having been passed over for the top job, fed the reporters information, much of it false, to the discredit of the man who got the top job instead, FBI Director L. Patrick Gray. Now, this is interesting too. Quote, none of Felt's allegedly leaked information and therefore none of the Woodward and Bernstein reporting had anything to do with the wrongdoing that actually led to Nixon's resignation in August 1974. And yet the myth of media heroism in exposing government perfidy lives on. So it just kind of goes to show you that this whole thing, and I think about this, if Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein were the ones that exposed this on this scale, were they not a part of the exact Project Mockingbird that Carl Bernstein exposed?
That's in itself is a very interesting thought because, yes. I mean.
This whole thing was just a complete psychological operation for us. And it's like, think about how much everyone still regards Watergate as this like massive win of the heroism of journalism. And none of it was real. None of it was true. It was a part of the operation.
Well, and that's what put the Washington Post? Yeah. I mean, that's what put them on the map.
Yeah.
Because before that, they were just kind of small. And that's what pushed them to a whole different level.
Well, and so, think about it. Think about how much a reporter wants to win a Pulitzer Prize, wants to get notoriety for the journalism work that they're doing, wants the fame from that. It's so easy for anyone in these like ABC, institutions to call one of them and be like, hey, I've got something for you. Do you want it? Because they're like, oh, this is my future. You know, like I can be famous doing this. It's like not even hard to do that.
Definitely not. And I mean, okay, we were going to kind of save this for, I guess, like kind of for Rise TV, but there's something else that we can do on Rise TV because, it kind of goes with Bill Cooper, who wrote Behold a Pale Horse. We can get into that a little bit more in detail, but the rumor, or what he wrote in his book, essentially was that, okay, so you have Eisenhower, who's president, and Eisenhower is the first one that really talks about the military-industrial complex. Like that's the first time that we really hear about it, and he even kind of like apologized that he couldn't really do a whole lot at the end of his presidency. So then you have JFK coming in. And according to like what Bill Cooper wrote was that Nixon was, well, okay, and of course you have like the Majestic 12 and you have Nelson Rockefeller who's kind of, and this isn't a conspiracy. You have Nelson Rockefeller working directly with Eisenhower. So then you have, JFK coming in. And then like everything happens with JFK. And according to Bill Cooper, it was like, hey, to Nixon, you can either follow what we want you to do, or, you know, we just look what happened to JFK. It's like, you want, do you want that? Or we can like just push you out naturally. And it kind of looks like, so he was set up to be pushed out because he was, they made him look like he was a really bad person, Nixon, and doing all these things. And granted, he was doing some shady things, but at the same, compared to like what's going on now with like, you know, the Clintons and Spygate and all this stuff. I mean, just Watergate's like just a drop in the ocean compared to
Watergate is children's stuff in comparison to what's going on now. But Watergate actually served almost the same type of purpose that the Satanic Panic did in the 80s, which is that it's sort of like created this effect where after that you wouldn't look as strongly at those things. Like, oh, because this happened, now politicians are running scared. They're like, the reporters are on it. You know, they're going to expose them. And none of that was true. You know, okay, dude, check this out. Back when Eisenhower was still president, the CIA was kind of like...
Well, it was less, just being formed.
It was just being formed, and yeah. It was less of a like nefarious organization that everyone views it as today. Okay, so all of what happened in Watergate is actually connected to when Eisenhower was president, because Eisenhower actually gave the CIA about $13 million to run ops to run ops and created the Bay of Pigs or whatever that is in Cuba. Do you remember that operation that happened over there that was like a failed operation?
Bay of Pigs.
The Bay of Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually gave that money to the CIA to actually interfere with Cuba and to screw Cuba up, because it was actually becoming more and more of a threat to the United States at the time. And this was all like transparent stuff, right? Well, the two CIA agents that were running ops on the Bay of Pigs are the two same CIA agents that retired and then were running ops on the Watergate scandal. And everyone was like, oh, they didn't know one another before 1972. They had just met. But then these books, that book that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, which was The Secret Agenda. Let me see here. I'm just trying to find that. It was called... Secret Agenda, Watergate, Deep Throat, and the CIA. So this whole thing, like those same CIA operators were the ones that were actually helping to operate all of the stuff that was going on in Watergate from this era. So the CIA is behind all of this stuff. Like from the beginning, the CIA is like, who knows what they're doing now, man? Like, think about how much less the CIA is actually in the news today than it was back then.
Yeah.
You know, that's like now really it's like everything point. Everything is a secret that they do, and we have no idea what they're up to.
Well, the Epoch Times did publish an article about the January 6th.
Well, but dude, what's crazy about January 6th is that those were full on like FBI agents. That wasn't even the CIA. So it's like,
And it just drives me nuts because Ted Cruz, you know, recently there was a whole hearing about the January 6th, and Ted Cruz specifically is asking, I forget who it was. It was a woman that I don't know if it was like the spokesperson for the FBI, but he was like specifically asking, were federal agents there? Were they involved? I can't answer that question. And it's like, what the heck, you know? So
that's a lame answer. It's like, totally, yeah, you can answer that question. I mean, you have to answer that question.
Yes, because if they were not involved, she would say, no, they were not involved. So instead it's like, well, I can't answer that question because yes, they were basically. And this, you know, and also it's like, who opened the gates? You can't just like all of this. It's so closed off. You just can't go there and say, hey, I'm going to go and walk into the Capitol building. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So obviously, you know, somebody had to open the gates, and yeah, here it is. This is the what Lindsay found it.
To the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
The echo is actually in the video. It's not
agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th.
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage
she might as well be wearing a clown
crimes
suit.
Of violence yeah. on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered, and there's video out there of him chanting, "Tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol." This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, "Fed, Fed, 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 Fed." Ms. Sadburn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
Right there.
Well, you would say no if he wasn't.
Exactly. Say no. Exactly. And Lindsay, go back to that Epic Times article. Because in that because it actually shows a picture of the guy that he's talking about. It's the guy who's wearing a hat. I think it's like a Trump hat or something. Do you have it?
It's not in this article.
Oh, it's not? Oh, man. Okay.
I think that article was just exposing the myth of the Watergate. The one that I had in there.
One, yeah. Okay. There is another one about it. So,
well, while Lindsay finds that, Ben, I think we owe it to everyone at home to talk a little bit about this brothel thing, whatever the CIA was running. So, in that article that I highly recommend from the massive, it wasn't an article, it's a book, man. Definitely read that. If you want to know everything there is to know about Watergate, it's hard to follow because there's a lot of names you're not going to recognize in there, but you have to kind of hang in there and just keep rereading stuff and understand, try to hang in there. But anyway, this is a quote from Watergate at 50 Revelations from a Newly Declassified Evidence. Actually, Lindsay, if you can pull that up while you're looking or whatever, that would be helpful. So Secret Agenda, Watergate, Deep Throat, and the CIA was one of the books that was referenced, and it was written by a guy named Hogan. Okay, so now here's a quote here. So now 40 years after Secret Agenda appeared, the verdict is in. 40 years. Think about how long that is.
40 years.
While some of Hogan's analytical conclusions have come under challenge, including by me, an avowed acolyte of the author, the wealth of new facts and documentation he presented has stood the test of time, where once it seemed impossible to reckon with the contribution Secret Agenda made to Watergate, it is now impossible to reckon with Watergate even after the release of thousands more tapes and documents without reference to Hogan. So basically it's saying they're all corroborating what Hogan said in his work, right? Okay, so introducing his findings, Hogan describes Secret Agenda as an attempt to correct the record and to suggest avenues of further investigation. Several authors over the ensuing decades, including me, took him up on that challenge, and a couple of epic lawsuits unfolded with the result that the book central thrusts were only strengthened. So everything in the book was only strengthened over time. It's never, nothing has ever really been discounted. Okay, so here's the interesting part about the honeypotting. Over 7 years of research, the authors of Silent Coup conducted hundreds of hours of interviews with key players and secured access to several important previously unpublished documents where Secret Agenda had established a link between the Columbia Plaza call girl ring and the Democratic National Committee. Silent Coup went a step further and asserted a link between Columbia Plaza and White House counsel John Dean, a central figure in Watergate. The book alleged that the name Maureen Biner, Dean's girlfriend and soon-to-be wife, appeared in the Columbia Plaza trick books. In 1984, Hogan had been the first to report John Dean's interest, when news of the call girl ring hit the newspapers on June 9th, 1972, shortly before the final Watergate break-in. As Secret Agenda revealed, Dean summoned the federal prosecutors in the case to his office and instructed them to bring all of the evidence with them to the White House. There, Dean circled names in the trick books with a Parker pen. So, Ben, you remember what Jack Posobiec was saying about the client list being the target? There it is, right? That's exactly why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
So this, like, whatever, what they were doing, apparently, in this Columbia Plaza hotel or whatever it was, is they were honeypotting politicians into going there and having relations with these call girls, recording it, and then blackmailing. This is that three-letter agency in our own country doing this against people in our country. Like, there's, yeah. I mean, the last I checked, that's treason, isn't it?
I would definitely say so.
Well, it's illegal in its own right, but then it's also treason. Isn't it? Like,
well, it's kind of like, who's going to stop them? You know, and actually I found,
yeah, but then who's running the country, Ben?
Yeah, that's.
Isn't it them? And who do they answer to?
That is the question. Who do they answer to?
Which is like, okay, so now then you're thinking about these brothels, right? And you brought up like Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, because that whole client list is what's being protected more than anything, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. And by the way, hold on, real quick, this is that guy that.
Oh, the Fed?
The Fed guy, Ray Epps, who Cruz is talking about. So, yes. What? Yeah, okay. So so this is the guy that was like encouraging everyone. And I remember seeing this video, and it kind of goes back to, it's like, what role, I mean, you would think that the FBI, or okay, let's just say that the three-letter agencies, you know, are trying to protect the American people. I mean, that it's like, you know, when we got attacked by 9/11, the Patriot Act came into play, right? It's like, yeah, we're going to launch this Patriot Act, blah, 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 blah. But then all it did was just go after the American people. It just restricted everything. And that's when the airlines added the TSA was invented after that, and like all the stuff, and all it really did was monitor the people and not so much what's going on with, like,
dude, you guys, I got it figured out. We'll create a monitoring system and call it the Patriot Act, and everyone will eat it up.
And it's such a deceiving term, because you would think it's like, yeah, it's for the American people.
Who doesn't want to be a patriot?
Exactly.
We're so stupid.
So, man, all of this stuff is just like, yeah, it's insane.
Okay, but so tell me a little bit about the Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and what Elon Musk said, because you'd track that down, right?
Yeah, I did. So, and before we get into that, we need to play a trailer. Lindsay's reminding me right now.
Oh, trailer. Right, what's the trailer going to be on?
Round Table.
Ah, good one. Good choice, Lindsay. You guys check this out. This is like the organizations that are in bed with these three-letter agencies. They're also three-letter agencies, a lot of them, and they all...
Right. Lindsay, she said, okay, she was saying that the Patriot Act was already written before 9/11. I guess that is true. I guess like after 9/11, it was really like promoted everywhere by Bush. You know, I mean, that's like, it was like, not many people kind of heard of it before that. And then right after that, it's like, we need to push this hard. So, but you're right. It was out beforehand. So, all right, go ahead, Lindsay.
Question: who created the New World Order? How did it actually come to be? What are some of the organizations involved? Well, ever heard of the Council on Foreign Relations? The Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and of course, the United Nations. What do all these groups have in common anyway? Most of all, what are their true objectives? Prepare for a brand new series called The Roundtable.
I'm Rob, and this is Ben from Edge of Wonder. You might recognize us from YouTube, where we had a popular channel from 2018 to 2020 with videos on space, spirituality, the human body, and forbidden history.
Yeah, our content covered everything cool that we found information on, which the mainstream either couldn't or wouldn't talk about.
Our channel had over 500,000 subscribers, and we had more than 45 million views. But then we were censored and demonetized without warning for daring to look deeper into topics and bring you the truth.
But we refused to be stopped. Now we're excited that Edge of Wonder is going live twice a week with deep dives, interviews, Q&As, and more of the content you love.
And that's not all. We've been getting lots of requests for our timeless episodes on topics like the Mandela Effect, transhumanism, communism, and more. We're happy to say we've got them all, as well as new series every month on our own platform, Rise.tv.
And don't forget my favorites like The Power of the Mind, Near-Death Experiences, Ancient Civilizations, and our Old World Order documentary series. And the list keeps getting longer.
To watch it all, subscribe to Rise.tv, where you'll get our full, original, uncensored catalog of exclusive content, and you won't want to miss our hilarious live chats with our awesome Rise community.
Yeah, it's like we're all family over there with lots of hope and, of course, humor.
And until next time, we'll see you out
on the edge
of wonder. Nice. I was like watching our trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Back to Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, oh, yeah. And Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he had a post about this. It was just kind of a meme, actually. It was kind of funny. So, because I mean, really, it's like, I just kind of feel that this is like the biggest story of the century. Really,
it's probably one of the biggest things that's been exposed, yeah, of the century at least.
It really has been.
We're only 20 years in so far.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it, but you remember that website that we pulled up that Dom found a month ago or so, and it just had, I don't even know how many names. I mean, of course, that was his black book, you know, which the address book, which had.
Who's going through those names, really?
I don't even know. There was like over 1,000 names in that book, you know, and it's just like, man, this is a good place to start. But all you need to do is really look at the flight log and see who's really traveled to Epstein Island.
You know what I just realized? Sorry, not to cut you off, but isn't it funny that like all of these things always happen on islands, like whether it's a Bond movie, whether it's or real life, it's like these evil people are always on islands.
That's a good point.
The Creature of Jekyll Island.
That's, yeah. And you actually, know,
Epstein Island.
Yeah. And that's something that we're going to be getting into in the next Oil City series a little bit, is the creature from Jekyll Island, too. So,
okay. Well, so this meme here.
Yeah. So this is Elon's meme. The only thing more remarkable than the DOJ not leaking the list is that no one in the media cares. Doesn't that seem odd? And then he's like, the things I'll never see in my life. Dinosaurs, dragons, unicorns, and the Epstein Maxwell client list. It's just great that he posted this, you know?
Yeah, but think about it. Why? Like, why are we not seeing that list? It literally is everyone who's in power right now.
That's why. And like, there's rumors.
Was there. Like, everybody was there.
So there's rumors right now, because I've been following this and we haven't really talked about it, because I definitely can't confirm this. I've tried to really confirm it, but I haven't been able to really find anything about it so far. But it looks like Klaus Schwab was very close to Epstein, according to a lot of rumors out there. But again, I haven't been able to confirm that.
Okay, Ben.
So, and he hasn't been on the flight log as far as I can tell.
We should probably try to confirm that.
Yeah, if you guys have any other information about that, I'm like, no.
There's,
but...
there's not many ways to win right now. You know, gas prices are really high. Inflation is all hitting our pocketbooks. But if we can confirm that Klaus Schwab was buddies with Epstein, that'd make me feel a little better.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So, yeah, it's, I mean, there's just so many people connected with it. And it's like, what are they going to do? They would just all take themselves down, and they can't do that. I mean, even, man, like, even this whole thing with Kevin Spacey is probably the weirdest thing out there.
Like, that's really bizarre.
Really, the Spaceyers have, like, committed suicide? I mean,
it's, you know, I mean, okay, one of maybe one, right? But like so many of them.
Well, I should. I don't think all of them can. One of them like died in a car wreck. One of them committed suicide.
Yeah, but,
and
yeah, but the deaths themselves deserve investigation, because the mathematical probability of four separate people or whatever it is, like all dying conveniently at the right times, begs the question, what is actually going on here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the kill them with kindness video followed by an actual death is the worst, like the worst part.
Totally. Totally. I still can't get over that. As soon as I saw that video, I mean, I told my brother, I remember we watched it when it came out, and I was just like, this is a message. And I was like, just wait. And
absolutely.
A few days later, he's like, dude, you're right. Like the guy died. And I'm like, yep, that was definitely.
Man, that was like, so, you know, it looked like a ploy maybe for more attention. But then when the death actually happened, it was like, what the hell?
I know.
It's literally these people flexing the control that they have, you know?
Well, and I think the main thing is, it's like, if you're in control of these organizations, and I mean, who's left? If you're in control of the media, you're in control of these organizations. Everybody's like part of this whole thing. Who's really going to be looking into you?
Well, but, and the other thing I want to say is, like, this might not have been had anything to do with Kevin Spacey. This could have been other people arranging that, because whatever he was involved with could expose too many people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree. I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't think Kevin Spacey directly doing this, but I think this is a message to somebody saying like, hey, I need this done. Well, yeah, you can play it.
It certainly seems like that.
Yeah. You don't have to play at the beginning, do you? Oh, it's not very long.
You didn't really think I was going to miss the opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas, did you?
I still can't get over this.
Pretty good year, and I'm grateful to have my health back. And in light of that, I've made some changes in my life, and I'd like to invite you to join me. As we walk into 2020, I want to cast my vote for more good in this world.
Ah, yes, I know what you're thinking. Can he be serious?
I'm dead serious. And it's not that hard, trust me. The next time someone does something you don't like, you can go on the attack, but you can also hold your fire and do the unexpected. You can kill them with kindness.
It's so weird.
That's super creepy, man.
Yeah, I don't even, I really, like, seriously, when that came out, I was just
like this, like, is nightmarish.
It is nightmarish.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and yeah, so then fast forward to the January 6th stuff and what we were talking about with, you know, Ted Cruz asking the FBI if feds were involved in all of that. Now we've got some tweets and some, I guess, information coming out that Colbert's staffers actually have been affected by this. What happened there, Ben?
So they were arrested, and it was happened to be on the anniversary of Watergate, for sneaking into the Capitol. So we're going to show this clip. And I think, I don't know, maybe they're just like, yeah, we're on the left, we can do whatever we want. I don't know. This is insane, though. This is totally insane. It was all because of January 6th. So Lindsay's going to pull this up. So it's just, it's so bizarre. I mean, Of course they're going to be arrested if they try to sneak into the Capitol. Like, what are they thinking?
Hang on, I need a minute.
Okay, she needs to find that. But it's just...
So there's people that all of a sudden go in, and these staffers actually follow them in there?
Yeah.
Followed them right in, like they own the place.
Yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, you know, we're here, and it's like, it's okay because we support you and we're on the left, I guess. And it's like, what? Doesn't make any sense. Okay, here it is.
A lot of paperwork for the Capitol Police, but a fairly simple story. Until the next night when a couple of the TV people started claiming that my puppet squad had, quote, committed insurrection at the U.S. Capitol building. First of all, what? Second of all, huh? Third of all, they weren't in the Capitol building. Fourth of all, and I am shocked I have to explain the difference, but an insurrection involves disrupting the lawful actions of Congress and howling for the blood of elected leaders, all to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. This was first-degree puppetry. This was hijinks with intent to goof. Misappropriation of an old Conan bit. It is predictable.
I mean, she's just making a joke about it, but it's like,
you know, it's kind of interesting how much they've used comedy as a weapon.
Just completely.
You know, they've like for years now they've been using comedy because if you can make people laugh, I mean, you make people laugh, you got them, you know, and it is kind of scary. He for a very long time with Jon Stewart, he's been very good at delivering information, and he's not doing it for the right side. It's, you know, he's just like again another guy in a clown suit, you know.
Well, actually,
really, he's the ultimate clown. Like, think about it,
Colbert.
Yeah,
I don't know if he is directly, you know, I mean, I think a lot of these, you know, a lot of times too, they're not writing their own content. You know, they have writers and they're just like, a lot of them are in it more for the money than anything else.
Could be, maybe so you're right.
It's hard to say, you know, I don't want to say like, you know, he's doing this or that.
Yeah, but Ben, it's like, it's like being like, well, you know, those Nazi guys were just being ordered by bigger Nazis to collect all of those Jews. Like, where do you draw the line there? Like, at a certain point, you have to make a decision whether or not that line of work is something you as a human being want to get behind and change your job if you don't like it. You know, it's like maybe it starts off, it's not so bad, but then it gets to a point where you're like, I can't do this anymore in good faith, you know, and he's not making that decision. So I don't think we can say that, you know, it's writers or it's not him, you know. Some funny gifs in here of like a dumpster fire floating down a flood.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Hollywood in general is just in its own little bubble. So that's what makes it complicated. And it's like but actually speaking of Hollywood, I mean, look at like, you know, Buzz Lightyear did pretty poorly on its first weekend.
Well, I mean, yeah, we can get into that in a minute because I kind of want to finish up this Colbert stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I was just kind of.
What was he doing? He was denying and deflecting or something.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to say with this. Like, oh, this is an insurrection. But I mean, the thing is like they entered it. I just don't know. Like, what do you think is going to happen? You know, and of course, like, and this is coming back. Like what happened in January 6th, it's like there's so many videos about it, you know, and Antifa was actually trending today on Twitter. But of course, like what was being shown was all this stuff that was like pro Antifa. It was like, oh, the Trump supporters are just blaming Antifa and really it's their own fault. Like that's what was people trying to use that hashtag to push their side of the story. But I mean, when you really break it down and what happened and you just look at the YouTube videos and everything else, I mean, that one guy, he was, I forget his channel, John, what was his name? Shoot, can't think of his name off the top of my head. But he was the one that had the YouTube channel that filmed everything. He was the one that went inside. He had like an hour of video. CNN paid like $80,000 to him to use his video. He had the video of the police officer or the woman even getting shot by the police and everything. And it was like, that was the main video. And then it turned out, and he was in an Uber video, like a commercial, an Uber commercial. And then it turned out that, you know, he was promoting, or he was working with Black Lives Matter the entire time. So it's just like, that was it. Jadex. I think that was it. Yeah. Jadex or something like that. Forget his real name.
Would you really trust a guy named Jadex? No, it just doesn't seem like a trustworthy name.
Yeah. And then in the beginning of the video, he's actually encouraging people to go into the Capitol, to storm the Capitol. And it's like, this guy never went on trial.
He's the guy that was inciting actually people to do that.
Yeah. And he was one of the ones that were inciting it. So, yeah, it's really weird, like all of this, you know, and it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And then, you know, and actually I know people that had photos that were, they were telling me about it, about weird things around trees, like backpacks just chilling out in the middle of nowhere around like trees, weird, it almost looked like, I mean, it could potentially be almost like a bomb or something. And they were going to the police saying like, hey, I'm noticing all these really strange things. I wanted to tell you guys, you should look into it. And the police were like, they were like yelling at him. Like, what are you doing? Why are you making up stuff? Things like that. And he's like, no, really. I mean, he's like showing the police and they were just completely ignoring it and instead criticizing him. So it's like, you know, there's things like that. And remember we heard all those sounds that sounded like a cannon fire or something, you know, or people were talking about. So I don't know. Anyway, who knows with all this stuff, but it is very strange nonetheless.
So anyway, about Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, it seems like I think the parents knew that there was agenda in the movie and they just didn't go to see it. It just goes to show you that people aren't down with the stuff that these cartoons are putting in, you know, for their children. Yeah.
I think it's like, I mean, this stuff is fine, but it's like, why are you putting it in a kid's thing? And then all these countries banned it. I mean, it's, what was it, like Saudi Arabia, one of the other countries over there in the Middle East also banned it. China banned it for that reason, or they asked, I think they took it out for China. So it's like, you know, the government, like you have the media not really talking too much about this, but anyway, it's just kind of crazy. I mean, I don't know. And then also, like, why didn't they? I still don't really fully understand why they didn't use Tim Allen to do the voice. But they were like, I guess, trying to separate it. That it was like similar, but not quite similar. Like they didn't really want to put it in the Toy Story world. That this is kind of its own world on its own. So that was kind of weird.
No, they didn't use him because he's conservative. That's why they didn't use Tim Allen. You and I both know it. They can say any excuse that they want, but
I don't know. I mean, if they had another Toy Story, they would have to use Tim Allen. So that's why I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, I think that was the other thing too. And then all the comments that, what's his name? Chris Evans, the guy that played him.
Yeah.
You know, he was making all these
stars that are attacking fans make no sense to me.
They make no sense. You know,
like the only explanation is like, just like it's sponsorship, basically. Like they're contractually obligated to say what they need to in front of the camera. Well, how else? Like, you know, I mean, you know, it's possible some of these people believe what they're saying, but I also don't think it's that straightforward. I think that these people have to say certain things. They have to go to certain places, go to certain events. They have to back certain things.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a very plastic world.
We sure do. You know, I was just checking out a comment from Jessica. She says, check out Bring Him Back Alive, which is from Audioslave. And of course, Audioslave was Chris Cornell's group with former members of Rage Against Machine. And she says, read the lyrics. And she's talking about how it's like, looks like he's talking about how no one survives like the islands, like specifically probably Epstein Island. So I never even thought about that. I know he was, you know, he was working on a documentary exposing the human trafficking. And that's what, you know, all of this kind of led to his so-called suicide as well. So it's really interesting. I have to look in more into that. Never even thought about that. So, all right.
What's this with the Supreme Court? We're going to get over to Rise TV kind of soon, but the Supreme Court rules 6-3 to limit the ability of state and local governments to restrict guns outside of the home.
Yeah, so I'm still trying to understand this. What this exactly means. The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 to strike down New York's gun law, likely limiting the ability of state and local governments to restrict guns outside the home. Hours later, the Senate advanced a bipartisan gun safety bill that responded to a spat of mass shootings. So what do you know, Lindsay, like what was fully decided with this? Because it was like the headlines were kind of changing because they just did this.
I believe New York wants to restrict guns even more, but mm-hmm. the Supreme Court has limited their ability to restrict guns.
Okay, because I wasn't sure who they were limiting, restricting in that sense. The Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that Americans have a broad right to arm themselves in public, striking down a New York law that placed strict limits on carrying guns outside the home and setting off a scramble in other states that have similar restrictions. Okay, that's actually really fascinating because, yeah, New York, especially New York City, I mean, you can't even own a gun in New York City, which makes me wonder how everyone else has guns in New York City if you can't own a gun. I always found that strange, especially.
And you think New York City, like, it's New York City. Like people should be able to defend themselves in New York City, but it's like the opposite there, you know?
Yeah, dude, I couldn't even get a BB gun in New York City. I ordered it off eBay. I couldn't get it on Amazon.
You know, like you go an hour, 2 hours outside of New York and it's like backwoods. Everybody's got like guns and ammo out there.
Yeah, everybody does there. Yeah. So I'm not sure if this is talking about, because I know New York City has a slightly different. You know, it's funny. I was thinking New York City the whole time. So New York State in itself is totally different. Like, yeah, everyone has guns in New York State, especially like up there in the more of the rural areas for sure.
Yeah, the backwoods.
Backwoods. So. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but that's kind of a positive thing. But I still am very curious about New York City, though. So, oh, man.
Well, Ben, why don't you tell everybody about what's going on at 9 p.m. tonight? And well, then also tell people what we're going to talk about on Rise TV.
So you guys, on Rise.tv, we're going to go over there, and I found a quiz by the Washington Post that I want Rob to take to find out the conspiracy quiz. How much do you know?
And are you going, you're going to talk a little bit more about
Bill Cooper,
right?
Yeah, and like definitely all of this, how Majestic 412 was formed. Coming in with, you know, of course, Eisenhower, or well, it was actually Truman, then Eisenhower, you know, all this that was going on. So we're going to get into all of that. And at 9 o'clock, we have our premiere of the Big Oil Industrial Complex Part 1. So we'll be on the chat for that. So you guys can all hang out with us and everything and see it. So I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, you guys. Basically, like, people really aren't being told the truth about how much oil goes into creating, you know, one of the biggest health threats here on the planet. And it's plastic. It's crazy. So, yeah, we're going to play a trailer for that right now and then get into our Rise exclusive Q&A. and have the watch party. We're going to be going over a lot of that crazy behind the scenes Bill Cooper stuff, what really happened at Watergate, what really happened with Nixon. So definitely don't miss that. And Basilisk, stop sharing crazy GIFs. Just kidding. Play that trailer.
The planet is dying. Reduce, reuse, recycle. We're made to feel guilty for causing climate change. But what if this is a bigger agenda being financed by big oil itself? In Edge of Wonder's explosive series, The Big Oil Industrial Complex, we ask, is it all a big scam?
When it comes to oil, it does so much more than just provide our gas. Yet, people know very little about how much oil goes into creating one of the biggest potential health threats on the planet right now. Plastic.
Bike to work. Watch your carbon footprint. Don't use plastic straws. Are the companies pointing fingers really the ones responsible for the destruction?
Why are there plastics in our blood? And if everyone cares so much, then why is there not more pressure on these massive companies to make changes? Who's really behind it all, and why are they doing this?
Is the focus on profits making these industries turn a blind eye to what they are really doing to our bodies?
Nowadays, plastic is in everything, including all bubblegum.
Get ready for an exposé that will turn the oil industry on its head.
You won't believe what we found.
You actually won't believe what we found.
No,